Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Hello, and thank you for joining us today for the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest joining us from Spain is Frances Monroe. She is author and also co-creator of the Inspirational Wisdom from Angels and Fairies Oracle Deck that she co-created with Judy Mastrangelo, who was on our show last week, and definitely check our archives and listen to that show. Judy is a fantastic artist. The Frances Monroe Organization helps people to realize that there are ways to help themselves get through life other than just surviving. No matter what your resources, you owe it to yourself to be the best you can be. Even if you don't get all of the way there, life will be better for you than if you hadn't tried it all and at least taken some of the steps. Life is meant to be enjoyable, and you can find out more about Frances by visiting her website, which is francesmonroe.com, and that's FrancesMonroe.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Frances. Hello, Frances.
Hello, Robert. It's really good to be able to talk to you now. Thank you.
Thank you. It's going to be a real delight. I have looked through all of the information that you send about yourself, your printed books, your e-books, and also the Oracle decks. And I mean, you are a very accomplished lady. And also your upcoming book, God's Messages. So that's looks like it's going to be a really great one as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's I started working directly with God about 3 to 4 years ago, and these messages are for sharing. They're not just for me, and I think it's just the same way. We need to share our knowledge, our wisdoms of all sorts, so we can reach people, and everyone can be a part of it. So, this is my part in it.
That's great. Well, you know, if you wouldn't mind, would you share with the listeners just a little bit about your journey, you know, and I know you work with your husband, Mike, as well. Yeah. So would you mind sharing just a little bit more about your journey and what did some of the things that you do?
Okay. I love to say that I've been on my spiritual path all my life, but I haven't. I started off my career when I first left school was I became a motor mechanic. My father had a sports and racing car garage, and so I worked on racing cars and sports cars. So I did that for a long while and different things along the way. And then we had really serious trauma in our family life when Mike and I were married, with our son nearly getting killed in a car crash, our business going down, where the mortgage people then come and say, we're going to take your home away from you, and that is while our son is still in intensive care. And everything, the whole world fell in. And I was taking my mother for healing at a healing center down in Milton Keynes in the UK. And they took one look at me and said, you need some healing. And that was the first time I'd ever had healing. So I had the healing quite regularly for a while, and I reached a point where I realized I needed to give back. And so I I then thought, well, I knew that the time I would start to train as a healer, and that was all I ever wanted to be, was when someone said to me, would you like to be a healer? And I found that, well, there was a person, she's different than mine, she's in her mid-80s, and she was the one who said, would you like to be a healer? And I said, yes, I would. And I trained then as a spiritual healer. And then, of course, I just wanted to be the best healer I could possibly be. So I went to lots of workshops and everything to try and develop that. And I found along the way, when they were starting, they were going to do a fledglings evening with all of us doing the workshop. And were going to put us in front of an audience so that we could do a little bit of clairvoyance and that sort of thing. And I thought, oh, no, I can't do that. So he could see that a few of us were rather reluctant. So he said, well, you've done a lot of homework on writing about this philosophy and this sort of thing. So he said, find something there and read it. So I thought, oh, yes, I could hide behind a big bit of paper. So I came home and I looked for my homework. And, you know, Robert, it had been literally spirited away because I couldn't find a thing. There was loads of it, and I knew it was there, but it wasn't there. So day before this meeting, I sat down with a pen and a large pad, and I looked to the heavens and said, you're putting me on the spot. I need something. And that was when I suddenly realized I was aware of words in my head that I knew weren't mine, because I didn't speak or write in the way these words flowed. So I started writing it, and that was when my first spirit guide stepped in and introduced himself, and that was Chief White Cloud of the Apaches. So he knew that I doubted myself very much. So he said he also knew I was very bad at history. I always had been. So he said to, and he gave me a lot of information that I could actually go and check out at the library. And, you know, it checked out, and I thought, wow. And then about 5 months later, I'd just done a writing from him, and I was sat down reading it. And I was aware of a different energy around me. And I said, you're not White Cloud, are you? And he said, no. I said, who are you? And he said, I'm not going to tell you at the moment because too many people are so interested in who the messenger is, they don't listen to the message. And so it was 3 weeks later, with a growing feeling of who it was, that he actually, after a number of writings, told me who he was, and I found out I was working with Jesus. And he has taught me since the 9th of May, 1999, so many things. Not religious, not in the religious, churchy way. He's taught me about fairies. He's taught me, of course, about angels and the different types of angels. He taught me about heaven and hell, and he's taught me about fairies, elves, life on other planets, so much. So I have a whole heap of writings from him, and then he told me I needed to start working, channeling directly from God, and I started that about 4 years ago. So that led to the God's messages. Meanwhile, Mike and I work together. All my learning has come from Jesus and God. I haven't gone to other workshops and that since then because I'm getting the pure information there, and I feel that is necessary because it's tailored for my abilities. And so that is how I've worked. But he's taught me to do release pain from past lives, and a lot of our past lives affect our current life. Issues there. So there are lots of things that I've been taught along the way, and it's made life very rich. And Mike is a healer too, so we work together on these projects. And I must say it's great fun. It's quite exciting. I've had to found a charity which we ran for almost 10 years, helping the homeless, helping women who were fleeing domestic violence with their children. That was in the UK. And also we used to drive out to Croatia and Serbia after the Balkans War and take aid out there. And that all came from my guide saying, you need to help in the world. And I said, how? At the time, there were just a few, me and Mike and a few friends who got together. And if we had a meeting on a bad night, there'd be three of us. And on a really good night, there'd be eight or nine. How do you help in the world? So he said, oh, start by sponsoring a child. So we did, and we sponsored 11 children later on around the world. And then went and we took a convoy of 30 vehicles out to Croatia and Serbia 1 year, 16 another year, and we went out twice a year. So that was really exciting. And then my guide also told me I needed to work with offenders. He told me I needed to go into prison and work there too, so I did that. And I found they have made me step out of my comfort zone, and that has been good for me, and it's taught me so much, and that is why I can share with a lot of people how they can move on. And yeah. How I can help them.
Yeah, you know, that is, you know, each of those steps that you have taken and followed through on the guidance received, so many people, you know, find it difficult, you know, to step out of the comfort zone and just would, you know, prefer not to to have that experience. And here, you know, you each time you've gone through that, you know, your life has been enriched by doing that.
It has.
You know, and
it's been wonderful. I have been rewarded so much by, you know, from actually doing that. I have met people I never imagined I'd meet. I've met some wonderful people, and I had to. I was brought up in a very strict way, discipline-wise, as far as everything was black and white. Mm-hmm. And I think going into prison, and also working with offenders through the probation, I found that there was a very big area of gray in between, and that a lot of the reason that people were in prison was they simply couldn't read and write, and they're teaching them that in prison. And they have left school because they've skived off school and that sort of thing, and the first thing someone gives them to get a job is a form, and they can't write, so they look for the easy route. And, of course, the easy route isn't always a very good route, and they end up in prison or on drugs or something like that. And I think we can do so much to help them, to prevent them from getting in that stage. So it really opened my eyes, Robert. And my spiritual journey is really showing people that with all the help that we're offered through spirit, through God, and all these amazing directions are here to help us in the most practical way at times. They really are here to help us deal with the practical situations of living a life here.
Yeah, you know, that's the one area that I find that people fall short when it comes to, you know, getting asking for the guidance, getting the guidance, and then applying it. You know, and it's that application, you know, that. You know, and I mean, I've been around the metaphysical, you know, arena for, you know, dozens of years. So, I mean, you know, I've seen many people, you know, all the ability to connect with spirit, you know, is a wide spectrum, you know, from, you know, being very clear, you know, being able to get those messages to those who are starting. And sometimes, you know, we get a little static. I'm going to put myself in the staticky area. You know, we get a little static sometimes in our communication, you know. But to me, you know, the whole purpose of that connection is to make this life experience better, you know, better for the soul and better for everyone connected to the soul, to that particular soul.
Yes, I agree. And we're on a journey. We're here to learn. And the best way of learning is by being able to connect and by realizing our full potential in that way. And achieving it by learning to work with our senses again, because we have been educated out of working with our senses, with our instincts. And I often say to people, you know, can you imagine if you were back in the time of saber-toothed tigers, sort of seeing one in the distance and thinking, oh my goodness, now shall I make friends with this? Should I pat it on the nose or what should I do? No, your instincts are saying run, find the highest tree you can. And people don't respond to those instincts now. And if they did, they'd be working with their soul more. And they would be also working with God, with the God energy, and empowering themselves. So we've got to get back to that area, haven't we?
Yes, yeah, I agree. You know, all of the senses, even common sense, you know.
Absolutely. I know, you can get some really intelligent people, but they have no common sense. And it's really funny at times. But I find it fascinating. But I do like to show the practicality of it, because I think sometimes people almost separate the spiritual from the practical side. And no, they integrate a great deal. And they're meant to, because it's to help us as a whole. We can't chop ourselves in half and say this part belongs to the spiritual bit and the other part of me gets on with life. No, it's the whole thing.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's very much like, you know, the philosophy of life in the sense that, you know, we've got the spirit and the physical, you know, and science, you know, quite, you know, there are people out there who, you know, are very, you know, they it's a kind of a show me and then I'll believe, you know, type of a mentality.
Yes.
Now, when you communicated with Chief White Cloud, you know, I think it was interesting that you were given information that you were able to go back and check. So it's kind of like, you know, in a way of convincing you that the information that you were receiving was valid.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I do have to say that I think they knocked on my spiritual door when I was young, but I wasn't in. And I was so busy living an ordinary, fighting the commuter traffic and doing all this sort of thing, that I wasn't there for learning in that way. And so Jesus actually told me one day, he said, we didn't think you were going to actually get to this point, but he said, amazingly, you have.
That's a lot of confidence in you, huh?
Well, I know, but you see, it's rather late in life for me, I suppose. And I agreed to my needs to achieve my mission in this life, and I think I was leaving it a bit late, because he did say that some people do leave their challenges so late that they have to come back another life to actually achieve them, because they haven't left themselves enough life. So, you know, I think I've had to work hard since that day, let's put it that way, to sort of catch up with maybe what I should have been doing about 10 years earlier.
It's one of those things where, you know, I believe that each of the choices that we make and all of the experiences that we gather, are of a benefit. And it's one of those cases, even though you may feel that it was, later in life that you got it, that in itself, for people out there who are of your age, who are thinking that, it's like a little too late to start, it kind of shows them that, no, it's never too late.
Oh, no, it never is. No, it isn't at all. And as you say, some people do, as you said, I needed convincing, and White Cloud, Chief White Cloud, did give me information to help convince me. But I often say to people now, just realize whenever you are talking to God or talking to the angels or whoever, realize you are being heard and you are being responded to. Even if you're not aware of anything, you can't feel the angels around you, you can't see them. I used to get really frustrated early on because I seemed to have an awful lot of clever people around me who could see colors and see people and hear messages and do all sorts of things, and I couldn't. And I thought, gosh, I'm no good at this. Then I've realized over the years, as I have managed to achieve these areas, that nothing is wasted. If you're actually out there saying, oh, please, angels, help me today, I need this help. Know that even if you can't feel them around you or hear them or see them, or a white feather doesn't fall down in front of you as a sort of confirmation, yes, they have heard you. Yes, they are helping you. It may not be in the way that you're expecting, but it's in the way you need. And so they will always be there. And whatever positive request that you put out there, it will be worked on. It will be responded to in the right way.
That's the thing. That's the thing that is really, I think, important to remember is that the requests will be fulfilled in a way that best suits your highest, good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I get people who say, "Oh, but I can't, I can't communicate like you. I say, you don't need to. You will find the messages are there. And very often, they're in a very plain, simple way. You may find you're needing to get answers on something, and you will find that they'll just pop up in front of you. It's like the old way of saying, you know, that the book opens at the right page, or you suddenly see an advertisement that leads you to whatever you're needing to do. The answers are there. We're on a treasure hunt. We just have to find the clues along the way,
because
God can't do it for us. We've chosen the route. We've chosen the challenges.
That's very, you know, very important, you know, for people to remember, is that, you know, those clues, those little bits of gold that kind of guide us, they have to come through the physical, you know, the physical
Absolutely.
Realm in some sort. So, but it's important to keep your eyes and ears open for that. And quite often, I know for me, that, you know, they really, if they really want to make a point, it'll make it a coincidental or a lot of synchronicity. You know, it's like, okay, I got it now. So, you know, that for me, you know, and then, of course, I always give my appreciation for that because I like clarity. So,
Yes, I agree. It's absolutely. That's how it works for me, too. And when you trust in it and get used to actually trusting in it, you then find that you make amazing progress. It's great because you can look back and see how you have trusted and how things have worked out. So you're even more ready to trust, even though you don't know actually what direction it's going to go in, but you just know you need to do it. And that is what some people just don't like to do. They like to have it all written down in triplicate before, just to make sure nothing's going to go wrong. Well, sometimes things have to go wrong for them to go right.
I know. Yes. Yeah. That, you know, that's very true. You know, it was interesting regarding one of that. I had, several years ago now, one of my neighbors, on a whim, he knew that I had just written a book, my first book, and so he was reading the paper, brought over to me a notice, an advertisement of a local author group in town that, which actually I'm going to today. I've been a member now for several years, but it was the first time, and on my morning walk, which I'm like a nature guy, and I kind of do my morning walk every day, I thought about that, the first meeting, and then when I got there, there was only a few people there, and I thought, well, you know, this isn't really worth my time and effort. And but long story short, I ended up meeting wonderful authors of children's books, environmental advocates, and expanded my programming. And over the years, I've had some of the most inspirational people on the show as a result of that connection. And that was one of those where, you know, I was kind of hemming and hawing whether or not I wanted to go or not. I kind of placed a judgment that maybe it wasn't worth my time, when in fact it worked out exactly better than I would have anticipated.
Absolutely. It's being willing to actually go and take that step, isn't it? Because if you hang back, it's lost and you can't get that back, or it takes a longer route to get it back. You waste time. It's really good because you can never tell where it's going to lead you. And
exactly.
I think it makes, I mean, we don't want to be here for a boring life, do we? We want adventure. We want to have fun. And
exactly.
I've never had so much fun and adventure. I love
great.
It.
Absolutely.
So,
well, gosh, you know, Judy, we're halfway through the show, so I want to take just a quick break, and And then when we come back, you know, let's, on that fun note, I wanted to talk a little bit more about your connection with Jesus and the various areas, things that he have taught you that people would not have expected, you know, to be coming from Jesus, you know. And then I want to talk a little bit about the oracle cards that you did with Judy and also your upcoming book, too, as well, okay?
Okay.
Okay, great. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Robert Sharp from Bringing Inspiration to Earth. There are several ways for a win-win situation where you can support our work and you receive a quality product. You can purchase the book or ebook of Joy Potential or It's No Secret Spirituality Bites. Each book has helped readers shift their perspective away from negativity towards a happier, less stressful life. Or you can shop at our wellness store where we offer essential oils, personal care, and wellness products. I am a very frugal shopper, and these are high-quality items I use that really contribute to my well-being. Or you can purchase our amazing nature photo greeting cards. These are great, all-occasion, unique 5x7 folding cards. They're my most popular nature photos, and everyone who has received one raves about the scene. All options are available at our website, www.biteradio.me, and I am very appreciative of your support of our efforts and the work of our special radio guests.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And again, today, my very special guest joining us from Spain is Frances Monroe. She is a healer, author, also co-creator of the Inspirational Wisdom from Angels and Fairy Oracle Cards with Judy Mastrangelo, again, who has been on our show last week. And check out Judy's website, but also definitely check out Frances's website and all that she offers. She's got many books there, regularly printed as well as ebooks. You can find out more about those by visiting her website, which is francismonroe.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Frances.
Yes, hello, Robert.
Okay, yes. Great. Okay, well, you know, like I said before the break, you know, you mentioned that some of the things that you got from speaking with Jesus or the information you received were things about, like, fairies, elves, life on other planets. Those are things that I don't think, you know, many people would have expected.
I know, yes.
What was your reaction when you got that kind of information?
Absolute fascination. I thought, wow, you know, this is great. But you see, we're surrounded with energies, aren't we? We're an energy ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And God, in his dealings with me, calls himself the host of all energies. So all these energies have a home, the spirit home. But which is heaven. But no, Jesus started bringing this information, and he then wanted to create a set of oracle cards prior to these that I've done with Judy, and I did a set of Woodland Wisdom cards, and he told me about all the fairies there and the elves, and you see, there are so many elementals that actually do help us within this Earth planet, and some are on the good side, some are on the bad side, and he described different things to me. Fairies help us a lot. There are sprites as well. There are the elves who help us very much to do our work. They are very much there to help us keep our eye on the ball and really focus on what we're doing so that we achieve more. So the elves are there to help us with that. The fairies are there to help us with to lift our spirits and also to help us in lots of different ways. And we can help them by having a shelter out in the garden and some water there, because they need to they need water available, even in a watering can or something like that, or a bowl in the garden, because it helps their the moisture to cling to their form, and they also need a little bit of shelter. So these are all, you see, Jesus is very practical as well. He gives us these tips as well. But he gave me all this information. He told me about gnomes. Gnomes are, they are not fun things. They are actually, they do revel in badness. So they're not good things to have around. Dwarfs, they are there to help teach us lessons, and goblins are there to help teach us lessons as well. Dwarfs teach us, if we start doing, if it's someone who isn't terribly clever, and they are starting to go down a wrong path, mm-hmm. The dwarfs are there to help them to learn from that. And the goblins are there with some of these higher ranking ones who go astray. One has to think at this time of bankers and politicians and a few people like that. People with a higher intelligence who are going down the wrong path, they are there to help to teach them a lesson as well. It's just the same as Jesus taught me that Satan is here to actually help us to learn the right and wrong way. And very much is there because we know at times that we should do something. We know that we should make the effort and change something. And we, for whatever reason, don't do it. Maybe we think, oh no, it's only little old me. I have no ability to do anything there. Or we think, no, it's not my job, it's someone else's.
Yeah.
Or we simply turn our back. And Satan is there to actually create something that is so awful that it actually makes us do something about it after the event. Because we say, that must never happen again. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of our lessons we learn from our mistakes. And God knows we make mistakes. He's expecting us to, because we've got free will. So we have the powers there to help us to learn from our mistakes, as well as learn from the what we can achieve in a positive way.
Yeah. That's what the one thing that that I have noticed is that, you know, when it comes time for example, you know, major natural disasters, you know, and times when that pull people together, that really where compassion and understanding and actual, you know, humanity, you know, comes to the surface,
that's right.
You know, and is expressed, you know, and it's And it's those kinds of, it seems to me that, you know, those events, although tragic, you know, and very heartbreaking for everyone involved in them, but
yes.
there seems to be a an uplifting of the whole consciousness of, you know, of the world.
I agree.
I mean, you know, it would be wonderful to be able to have that, you know, uplifting without the tragedy, but, you know, sometimes, you know,
that's
it's difficult to achieve.
Yes, it is. And that's because we've got free will. And we make a lot of mistakes. But it's not a problem if we learn from them. And then, you know, we work from that. Sadly, normally somebody or part of nature has to suffer for our learning. But as you say, we all come together and we bring this wonderful force of good do something about it. And that is wonderful. But sometimes we have to have the shock tactics to get us to that point, don't we?
It is, and again, you know, it's very selfless of the people who are involved, who, you know, give their life for such a, you know, a cause, but
I know.
recognizing the spirit goes on, you know, and, you know, that it's a contribution, you know, to humanity as a whole is encouraging. I mean, it's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like I say to people, you know, we're all along our way in our spiritual path. We make lots of mistakes. I know I've made huge mistakes. I've made so many mistakes. And I've got lots of things wrong. I've done things that I think, oh, I wouldn't do that again. But I do know now that it has made me the person I am now. And that is someone that I can live with. And that I feel there are a lot of people who don't forgive themselves. There are a lot of people who don't forgive other people. But those who don't forgive themselves as well, that is really important, to forgive themselves, because they cannot move on. They are carrying a load of rubbish with them when they don't forgive themselves, and they're not helping themselves to move on. So whatever mistakes they've made, whatever things they think, oh, that was so bad, I can't forgive myself for that. Yes, forgive yourself, because it's made you the person you are now, and that is good, and you can build on that, but you can't build on rubbish.
Exactly. Boy, now you indicated that there are some healing.
Healing factors.
Healing factors. That, yeah, thank you.
Yes, that was rather fun actually. We'd been working in Sweden, and we had come back. Mike and I had come back to the UK, and we were having to go over to help a lady over in the Liverpool area who has multiple sclerosis. And as Mike was driving us along the road, I just sort of checked in with God and said, is there anything in particular we have to do today? I'd done the usual program of healing that we were going to do, but I was just checking up on anything. And he said, yes. Give her healing factor 8. And I said, healing factor 8? And he said, yes, healing factor 8. I said, is that all I ask for? And he said, yes, healing factor 8. So I said, okay, about the healing factors. And he said, oh, yes, there are many of them. And I said, you are going to give them to me, aren't you? And he said, yes, of course. So the following day, I sat down. We gave this woman Healing Factor 8, which actually is an angel healing factor. But he gave me, at the end, he gave me 55 healing factors. And they cover all areas of healing. There are going to be some more, but we haven't got round to it yet. But they cover all sorts of areas of healing. And you ask for them by number. We are actually going to get a deck of cards done. We've taught it on courses for people to do their inner healing. But you actually order it, and I'm not sounding disrespectful to God here, but you do order it rather like a Chinese menu, a Chinese takeaway, and you just ask for the healing factor number, because they bring in the angels or whatever forces are necessary to come in. They bring in the right recipe of healing for that person at that time. And it was fascinating. It was just so simple. But I think that's one of the things. We overcomplicate things, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and that's wonderful. I mean, you know, it's kind of like a prepackaged, you know, you've got the ingredients, you got the right proportions.
Absolutely.
Perfect to satisfy the appetite.
Yeah, absolutely. Put it in a bowl and stir it up. And I thought it was wonderful. And I've got them all written down. And then I because all my writings, my important writings, I handwrite them, because they are going to last much longer than I am. And there's going to be someone one day who's going to say, oh, I don't know, I can analyze writing. I can see what sort of mood she was in, or whether it was real or not real. Mm-hmm. And so I have handwritten all the ones that are necessary there, and then I put them onto the computer afterwards. And I've always done it. Long hand, and I just feel there is that extra energy there too in a handwritten writing. Don't know what you believe.
And I understand that, you know, and you know, when I've kind of utilized you know, both handwritten, whenever I do any kind of writing, you know, I kind of mix it up, you know. You know, I mean, I've done some on paper, some on the computer, some of it even on my little note thing on my phone. You know, I've kind of, you know, whenever something kind of strikes me, I kind of just make a quick note so I don't forget, you know. But
absolutely.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, and there's a lot to be said for handwriting. I know many people who the idea of, like, automatic writing, you know, the channeling of information, the actual movement of pen to paper, you know, there's something about that just I think it kind of facilitates, you know, kind of takes people out of their head in a way, you know.
Yes,
and it facilitates,
yes, it
a clear communication.
Mm-hmm. yes it does. And it's always been the way I've done it. And I have so many books, even old diaries and all sorts, when we were not able to afford lots of new books and things, I wrote them in whatever I could, and they're all sitting there on the shelves. So they're for someone to read one day. Meanwhile, I transfer things like God's messages over to the computer to get them out there for people to see.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I want to go ahead and why don't we just talk a little bit about God's messages, and then we've got about 10 minutes remaining, and then we can talk a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about your work with Judy and how that kind of came all about.
Right.
So, But first, let's talk about God's messages. Now, you know, and by the way, thank you for sending me, you know, the draft copy to read. I really enjoy that. One of the things that you start off with in that are some of the really typical questions about, like, that negative side of life, you know, why, you know, the big whys, you know, why does, you know. So was that, you know, obviously you start with that. So what is it that you hope that God's messages will do for the reader?
I want the reader to really feel God is accessible, because I do strongly believe that with all the mishmash of beliefs and religious the rigmaroles that people are taken through with religion, it can separate them from God, because they are in a way feeling, I can't reach this God. I mean, I when I was young, I never ever doubted God, but I really didn't think that he was involved with me personally. I believed that he was there for the, as my parents used to say, the hatch, match, and dispatch, which is the your birth, so your christening, your marriage, and your death, and he'd be there at all the formal things. But I thought, past that, no, God isn't interested in me. You know, I'm too insignificant. And what I want to get over to people is that, no, you're not. God is there within you, using his link of energy through you to help you to do things. But it's rather like a program on the computer that you've actually never tapped into before, and you haven't used it before. And it's trying to get people to understand God's there for you every day. Have a chat with him every day. Tell him how you're feeling, and tell him what your needs are, and really have this conversation, because it's really important. I don't think it should be that people believe that you can only reach God through someone else. And there are too many people like that. They have to know that they have a direct link with God. And if I can help them with that, I will. Because I think that's vitally important, that they can talk to God anytime, no special words, just have a chat with him and really let him know how they feel and what their needs are. And then they'll start finding that things are happening for them. Because it's as simple as that.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I really like, you know, addressing those, you know, that kind of negative side that we often question. But then you know, in your book, you go through and provide really, I guess, empowering thoughts. Really is the way I guess I could phrase it. You know, as far as what people can do to take action to shift their perspective and start creating a better experience for themselves.
Yes, it is so achievable, Robert, but so many people have been pushed away from that, or have been put off by feeling, no, it can't apply to me. And we have to empower them. We have to help them to empower themselves. And they can do it. They really can do it. So much they can achieve then. That I mean, if you had told me years ago that we would go out and take aid out to Croatia and Serbia, but we would run a charity and help people across the world. And I would never have believed you, because I think, but how? You know, it's someone else who does that, because
right.
I wouldn't know where to start. But God and Jesus guided me, and they took me through it and told me how to go about doing these things. And that is what we can do at all levels. All levels. So I want people to realize, you know, they don't have to do great things across the world, just in their neighborhood or in their family or wherever. It's achievable, and God is there to help them.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, that's the thing, too, is first of all, like you say, you know, the idea of I would never have thought I would, and then fill in the blank, you know. That, you know, those are things, I mean, I, to this day, I recognize that very much in my life from what I've done. And so that when, you know, when a situation presents itself to me, you know, if my first thought was, is I have no idea how to, or, you know, I can't, it's like, well, wait a minute, you know, there's so many things that you've done, you know, that you had that thought, so you can just wipe that out right now.
That's right, absolutely.
Yeah.
They have helped me to prove to myself that I could do things that I really didn't think I could. In fact, I used to often say, oh, I could never do that. And then, darn it, they challenged me with it. And so I gave up actually saying it, because they always ended up giving me the challenge. So I thought, I'm saying the wrong words here.
Exactly. Gosh, well, we're down to about the last 5 minutes here, so I don't want to leave without talking a little bit about the inspirational wisdom from the angels and fairy cards that you did with Judy Mastrangelo. Tell me, how did that all come about, and how did the two of you work together to bring this? Because I love co-creative efforts. You know, I think those are things that, you know, people really need to be open to.
Well, I have to say, bless her, it's down to Judy who invited me. We met a few years ago at Canterbury. We were both doing a mind, body, spirit fair at Canterbury, a fairy event. And we had stands that backed onto each other. So we started talking and we got to know each other a little bit there. And then, of course, after the show, we went off in our different directions. She went back to America, and I was in the UK at that time, so we went back there. We kept in touch. And then Judy, after we had published our Woodland Wisdom cards, who were with another artist, it was Judy who put the idea to me that maybe we could do a set of cards together. And she obviously has the most beautiful paintings, and she asked me if I would do the work and if I would work with her then. And so that's how it came about, and we sort of bounced some ideas off each other as to which of her lovely paintings and how did she feel my words were they the right sort of wording that we needed to bring forward, and we worked from there. And I must say we're I'm as excited as she is that we received some packs yesterday in Spain, and just seeing them for real now, it's really brought it alive at this end. So I'm really thrilled.
Wow, that's wonderful. I know, I do love her work. I'm sorry?
No, I was going to say, and of course, we're now working on a second deck, so which will come out next year. So
there
I hope,
you go.
Well, be sometime next year, yeah. So,
yeah.
So yes, she has some beautiful work.
She does. She does. I read her book, her collection book of the Land of Fae, you know, with all of the different fairies.
Yeah.
And to me, it was just absolutely breathtaking. And I'm definitely going to have to pick up myself some of those, that deck. I have a few Oracle decks myself, but I would love that, especially knowing and speaking with both you and Judy. So that's something that's definitely on my list to get. But you know, Frances, this has really been a true delight. I really want to thank you for your time in chatting with me today.
Well, thank you, Robert, for asking me. It's an absolute joy to talk to you there. And I really do honestly mean it. If anyone does want to contact me on my email, through my website or whatever, if I can help, I will do so. I work in all sorts of different ways, so I would be glad to do so.
Well, that's great. Well, again, thank you for your time. And everyone, again, today my very special guest joining us from Spain has been Frances Monroe. And again, she is a healer, an author, also the co-creator of the Inspirational Wisdom from Angels and Fairies Oracle Deck with Judy Mastrangelo. Again, you can find out more about Frances by visiting her website, which is francesmonroe.com. And that's FrancesMonroe.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.